And turning now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17 and verse 12. Luke 17, 12. And as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And our subject tonight is perceiving our greatest needs. And there's a tremendous amount of help and instruction for us on this subject from this event, the healing of 10 lepers. It's an extraordinary narrative, and I begin quite simply. My first point is simply to look at the healing narrative, and then we shall see the extraordinary things that come out of it. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the last part of his ministry. In some 6 months' time from here, he will be going to Calvary's cross and suffering and dying to make an atonement for needy sinners. And he comes at this point to the borders of Galilee and Samaria. It sounds as though he's in Galilee and he's passed from Samaria or run close to the border. And he comes to a village, more likely a small town, but a King James Version calls small towns villages. He comes to this community, and 10 lepers approach him. 10. They keep together because they're excluded, as you know, from society, or were. And so they naturally gather together for company and for mutual help. They're outside the town. That's where they have to be. That's what's required of them, because their condition is infectious, and so they must remain outside. And they must warn people who would come near to them, and they must cover themselves, and you know how it was, and they must shout out, unclean, unclean, so that there was no danger of people being affected by them and their leprosy. And they come near to Christ as he goes into this town. Now, that wasn't the most polite thing to do. Courtesy, we're told, would have required that they waited for him to go in and get refreshment from the hot, dusty road. But they're so eager, so excited that Christ has come, or at least Jesus of Nazareth, as they knew him. And they knew that he healed lepers. And Christ did. You might say he specialized in healing lepers. He took every opportunity, it appears, to heal and to cleanse lepers. And the reason is simple to see. Because the people believed, well, they believed this to some extent of all illnesses in those days, quite wrongly, but the people believed, and they didn't get it from the scripture necessarily, that somebody who was a leper was in that state and condition because of some particularly serious offense or sin. And so it suited the Lord of glory very well to heal such people, because his message, we're told, was a message of repentance and remission of sin. Come to God in all your need. Repent of your sin and rebellion against him and your waywardness, and your sin will be taken away from you. Trust in his mercy and come and repent. So for him to major on healing the people who were most thought to be sinful and in their health condition on account of that, well, that provided the Lord not only with yet another opportunity for compassion and mercy, but it provided him with an illustration which served his ministry, that he is the one who not only speaks about forgiveness of sin, but heals the people who you think are most guilty of that. And these 10 lepers, they knew of this. They had heard of this, and they knew that there was hope for them if Jesus of Nazareth came. So they couldn't wait for him to go into the town and emerge again sometime afterwards, perhaps some days later. They approached him, but they held their distance, and they shouted, "Jesus, have mercy upon us." And there's a lot to glean from their approach to him, and we'll make brief reference to it later. They knew who he was, and they went to him. Now, he didn't immediately heal them, and you might think that's strange. He told them to go and present themselves to the priests. Well, the priests couldn't heal them, but what they could do is certify their healing. If, and it happened, the experts tell us, but rarely, if your leprosy burned itself out or went from you in a remarkable way, then you could be reinstated. You could be brought back into society. If you went and got the necessary certification from the priest that you were now clean from the illness, you were readmitted to your community. You could repossess your home, rejoin your family. You could work once again. You would be free from all the trials of the illness. And furthermore, you'd have your family and your friends and your past environment back to you. And so he sent them to see the priest. Implied was that by the time they arrived, they would be cleansed and free from leprosy. And they obeyed him. They went. But on the way, how far they'd gone, there is no indication in the text, in the narrative. But on the way, they were healed. Must have been an extraordinary sensation and realization to these men to know that they were clean, that amazingly, miraculously, the scales and the dryness of the leprosy had gone. Perhaps deformities caused by it had been made good and straight. They were now free from their illness. Well, nine of them went on and saw the priests to get their certification. Having been cured, the most important thing for them was to reintegrate, to get back their former lives, to have those pleasures and enjoyments once again, to work and so on. But one thought of the one who had wrought the cure. One of them was compelled to go back and to give thanks. Now, there's a tremendous lesson in this healing, this miracle, this event, and it's this. It is about our perceived needs. You see, nine of those lepers, they saw their need as healing, bodily healing, physical healing. Oh, and they had it, that's true. To be free from leprosy. The leprosy of olden times, once again of Bible times, the experts in these things tell us, was rather different from leprosy as it is known today. It had similarities, striking similarities. It probably was of a similar nature, a similar course, but it had many very different features. In many ways, it seems to have been much worse and much more terrible in its effects in the body. However, it was somewhat different. But you can imagine that they would see this as their all-consuming need, to be free from leprosy. If this could be done, this is my greatest need. Well, it wasn't their greatest need. Not really. Their greatest need was the need of the soul, the need for acceptance with God, the need for union with him, the need to walk with him and know him and have a place in heaven and have real meaning and purpose in life, a spiritual purpose. But actually, though they were to some extent justified in this, their perception of their need was strikingly limited. What is your greatest need? To be healed. Well, that's a great need when you're seriously ill, but a far greater need is to be on the road to heaven, is to have the Lord and to know him and have his blessing and have his presence in your life, to be accepted by him which is impossible on your own merit and worth. We have none but to be accepted because Christ is your Saviour, and he's suffered and died to bear away your sin, and you've sought him and found him and come to know him and walk with him, and you've proved him and you love him. Dear friends, this is our greatest need, to have spiritual life, eternal life, a heavenly objective, to have the strength of God within us and the new nature and the new character that he alone can give us. And if I say my greatest need is to have whatever may be your great trial, to have my cancer cured, to have this cured or that cured, it isn't your greatest need, friend. Great as it is, it's far below spiritual need. So this is about perception of needs. 9 lepers thought leprosy was their all-consuming greatest need, and there was nothing else. If I can be free from this, I can be so happy. I can have my wife and my children again, and my job and my small holding or farm or whatever it is. I can be accepted in society. Well, we sympathize. Those are tremendous needs, but not the greatest need. And if you have limited needs, dear friend, you need your horizons expanding. You need to be looking up at far greater things. Well, you may, in answer to prayer, have considerable help with your earthly needs, but your eternal, spiritual, heavenly needs are infinitely greater and more important. And that's what this is about. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. What did the others think? Come on, aren't you coming to see the priest, to get reintegrated, to have this curse of leprosy and all its implications taken from us? Aren't you going to be connected once again with all your loved ones and your people? Isn't that the all-important thing? Not to this one, it wasn't. To this one, no. I must see the one who's performed this great work of healing within me. He is God. He is divine. He is the Lord. He has more than healing for me. He has forgiveness of sin. He has new life. He has heaven. He has everything. This to me is more important for a few moments than my family or my farm or my community or anything else. That's the meaning of the miracle. That's why it's recorded. It's an illustration of our perceived needs and what we realize about ourselves. And we can get almost entirely through life's journey, countless people, without understanding that they're sinners in need of the forgiveness of God, and that this life is not just for the here and now, but it's for knowing him, Christ the Lord, and walking with him and going to eternal glory. These are the greatest things, and these are our ultimate and real needs. All this was more important. So it's about the perception of need. The narrative, first point, the limited perception of need by 9 of the 10 lepers. And then I'd like to make another point, and it is this, that the leprosy that they had actually does illustrate our spiritual condition. You may not think it's an immediately connected point, but it is. 10 accepted a benefit from God. 1 saw his real need and the even greater benefit that was available, a new life, a new nature, spiritual life. 10 wanted home and work and community and health. 1 wanted something greater, a living soul and character and a new nature. He wanted the leprosy within him dealt with, as well as the leprosy in his body. 10 heard of health. One heard something more. Where did he hear it? Well, he heard that this was the preaching of Christ. What does he talk about? I know he heals, he would have asked other lepers who came from other regions. What does he talk about? And the answer would have been, he talks about repentance and remission of sin. He talks about reconciliation with God. And one of the lepers thought, that's what I need. That's the even greater need. That's what I must have. I am the sinner and the rebel against God. I am the one who needs my sin, the record of my guilt and sin, just to be taken away so that I'm considered clean in the sight of God. Have you prayed, by the way, friends? 'Tis a deep human instinct. It's deep in our constitution to pray. And we do when we're in desperate trouble or fear. We may not like other people to know it, but we do. But what do you pray for? Earthly, physical needs and situations. Have you ever been like the one leper out of the 10 who prayed for his spiritual need? That's the great thing. That's the important thing, dear friends. Now, biblical leprosy, a terrible, terrible scourge. They think that it worked in the peripheral nerves of the body. It wasn't just a skin disease, it was worse. It attacked the nerve endings. I believe that's how it's thought of even today. And you lost sense. You couldn't feel pain. And that would lead to great injuries often, and troubles and problems for you. It was a drying, scaling illness to tap the face and the hands and the feet and spread through the body. And the leprosy of olden times that is in the Bible could even infect leather and cloth and materials in the home. So everything could be contaminated with this around the leper. It led to disfiguration very often. It led to the twisting of limbs and the decay of parts of the body. It led to loss of hearing and numerous, numerous infections that would take advantage of the leprosy and bring you down. So it was a terrible thing. And it advanced. It got worse. Although there were cases of, as I mentioned, it burning out, it would get worse. So you were an isolated person, an outcast person. I'm pretty sure you know all those things. And you've heard of all those things, or read about all those things. But what an illustration of spiritual need. The leper lost feeling and sensitivity. And how quickly in life we lose all feeling for God. All sense of God, all sensitivity to spiritual things and needs, and it can disappear, and we're like spiritual lepers. We've got no feeling, no awareness. We may not call ourselves atheists, but we're through and through materialists, atheists, never think of God, never concern ourselves with God. How well leprosy illustrates that kind of thing. And it illustrates the impurity and the coarseness as we become more and more affected. Isn't our society today a coarse society? I was reading somewhere that the majority of comedies on television nowadays, modern things, are laughed at for their degree of coarseness. What are we coming to? The most educated generation in the history of mankind. You might expect us to be the most refined, but we're among the least refined and the most coarse these days. What's happening to society? What's happening? Well, it's the new morality. You now decide that all that God calls wrong is right, and all that God calls right is unwanted and discarded. So there's a new morality promoted through the entertainment industry, promoted through education even, in all kinds of ways. And what good could it do us? It can only make us gradually a more sin-susceptible, depraved and coarse society. And that's what's happening. That's where things are going. But I'd rather talk about ourselves as individuals. What about me? We have to say, every one of us. Where would I stand in the day of judgment? What will God think of me and make of me? Well, dear friends, these lepers who went to Christ, albeit only for bodily healing, they didn't want anything else from him. And when they received their benefit, they were barely thankful to him and didn't render any thanks to him at all. Dear friends, their great need was of something spiritual. But they obeyed him. It's our only hope. He sent us to the priest. Something must be going to happen on the way. Well, that's what he's told us to do. We'll obey him. It may have been only in the spirit of giving it a try, but they obeyed him. And as they obeyed him and went to the priests, they were healed. And that's a picture for us from this healing miracle. You have to obey Christ. What he tells you to do, you have to do. Now, this does not mean that he will tell you to be more righteous than you are, to be a better person than you are, to do certain duties, certain good works in order to be forgiven, in order to be saved. Obeying him doesn't mean that. He'll never tell you to do that, because he says the opposite. In fact, the message of the whole Bible is we can't make ourselves any more fit for God. We can't do anything that will have the effect of blotting out our sin and our crimes against him. We cannot do anything to earn his favor, but we have to obey him in the method he prescribes for seeking his salvation. And the method he prescribes, though it doesn't give us any credit, it doesn't impart to us any merit or worth, but the method he describes is to humble ourselves before him and to repent of our sin and to trust in what he has done on Calvary's cross to take away the punishment of sin on our behalf. And that's what we have to do. Just as the lepers obeyed him in going to the priest, that was his instruction to them, so we have to obey him in humbling ourselves before him and coming repentantly and trusting in his work on Calvary's cross when he took the excruciating, indescribable pain of the punishment of all our sin in his own body in order to purchase the right to forgive us and make us his own children. We have to obey him. So you can't bounce into his presence proudly. God will be pleased to have me on his side, in his kingdom. Oh no. God will take you as a lost, repentant sinner and make a new person out of you. And that's how he'll take you into his eternal kingdom and make you his child. But you have to obey him and follow his instructions and repent and trust him. It struck me that Martin Luther, when he was a young man, resembles these nine lepers who thought that their need was limited to their health condition and not their souls. He was a young man and he was meant for the law profession. But he was walking home one night, you probably know the account, and he passed through some thick woods, and it was all, he was quite a superstitious young man, and believed in strange spirits that lived in the trees and things like that. And so he was rather frightened at all the sounds, and there was a fearful thunderstorm. and tremendous bolts of lightning. And one of these bolts of lightning, flashes of lightning, landed at his very feet. And he was a Catholic young man, and he believed in praying to the saints. In other words, he didn't really know how to pray. Praying to saints? He didn't know about praying to God through Jesus Christ as he ought to have done. His mind was full of Catholic superstition. Anyway, he was so terrified, he cried out, "Saint Anne," he said, "save me, enable me to live, and I shall become a monk." And he wasn't killed. He survived, and he kept his vow. He became a monk. Well, he's an example of this, you see. His perceived need was to have his life saved, his physical life on earth. He didn't understand that he had a greater need. He was to understand. He became a monk, and as time went on, he was very dissatisfied with being a monk. It didn't bring him to know God personally and to walk with him. And he continued very frustrated with endless mechanical prayers and penances and all sorts of afflicting his body, all kinds of means he adopted, hoping vainly that these would somehow bring him to know God in a real and in a personal way. And they were to no avail. Ultimately, he discovered what it was to be justified by faith alone, to believe in God, to believe in Christ, to see him dying on Calvary, to repent of your sin, and to yield your life to him. He understood it, and he came to have real spiritual life. But you see, like the 9 out of the 10, he thought living on this earth, that was the total, sum total of his problem. He didn't want to die. Well, we can understand that. We can understand that. That a terrified young man would want to survive. What's more natural than that? But it isn't enough. You must see the need of your soul. Only 1 out of the 10 lepers grasped the real extent of his need. And he prayed and he called upon the Lord in that desperate need. Come. Well, like even the lepers who thought only of their health condition, at least their approach to Christ was humble. They wouldn't go near him. They were afraid to do that. Why, I'm only a leper. They called to him from a distance. So even though they didn't want the right thing, they came humbly. You must come humbly. They didn't say, "Jesus, Master, help us. I was the head man in my village. I did no end of good things for the villagers. I was very, very philanthropic before I was afflicted. I was a good man." There was none of that. It was, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." They came humbly. They didn't place any reliance in any imagined good works of their own, in any merit of their own. They simply cried out for the mercy of God. Well, those 9 men were wrong in that they didn't see their greatest need, but they certainly approached Christ in the right way, so they received bodily healing. Sadly, as far as we know, that's all they received. Only 1 received spiritual life. For only 1 was this the most important thing in the world. And in verse 16 of chapter 17, we read how that one fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, probably with tears and with full Eastern emotion. And he thanked him and glorified him because he'd found him in a deeper way. So here in chapter 17 of Luke's Gospel is a narrative about miraculous healing of 10 people. But it shows the limited and our limited perception of our needs in this life. bodily things. And it shows, to some extent, how leprosy pictures our lost spiritual condition and our plight before God. And it pictures also, if you look at it, the approach to God, a humble approach, an unworthy approach. But most of all, it pictures the one leper who was healed not only in body, but in soul. Not just body, but soul also. Will you be among the nine? All you ever looked to God for was some benefit on earth? A health benefit? A career benefit? A deliverance benefit from some great fear? Well, more and more people don't even look to God for that. We have countless benefits from God. We breathe his air. We live the life he's given us. What a wonderful thing to have the gift of life, even physical life, to have conscious life and understanding and the power of reason and the ability to know pleasures and happiness. What a gift is life. You've had a tremendous benefit from God. Have you ever returned to thank him? Have you ever gone to him for an even greater need? Spiritual life, a walk with God, to know him, to have his blessing, and to have heaven. You must come to him. You must see him in your mind's eye on Calvary's cross, the eternal second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, through whom all the world was created. See him suffering and dying in great love for needy sinners. Would you like to be counted among them? Oh, may the Spirit work in your heart and bring you to see your greatest need so that you desire him, the great lover of souls, and you repent of your sin, trust him, and give your life wholly to him. That's my message for this evening, perceiving our greatest need. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, look upon us all and help us. May none go through the remainder of life's journey only for the shallow things of flesh and time. O Lord, show us our spiritual need. Show us eternity. Show us life with Christ. Bless us, O Lord. Enter our souls. Deal with us tenderly now and save many. We ask these things in the name of our Saviour, for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn number 390. Hymn number 390.